credit where credit's due, and today it is payable to Brian Zoffy.
What?
Welcome to Dolls. Yes, because you brought up the Charlie McCarthy doll first on this very podcast.
Oh my God, I had no idea. Years later, I would be winning these awards.
I know. You won a dolly.
Thank God.
I am diving fist first into the Charlie McCarthy doll today on Dolls. Okay.
I am so excited for this.
Listen, Brian.
This is the stuff of legend.
You have teased a little bit about this doll and about how Candace Bergen was made to eat breakfast with this doll. Next to the stall. I mean, it gets so much worse than that. You have no idea. You're about to know. Okay.
I honestly can't wait.
I will get into the history of the doll. Then I will talk about how this doll plagued Candace Bergen's life. Okay.
Got it.
All right. So the Charlie McCarthy doll was the talk of the town in the 40s and 50s.
Fuck yes.
A great feat for a radio dummy. Yes, that's right. Charlie McCarthy was even popular over the fucking radio.
Wow.
So when vaudeville radio TV movies, no, vaudeville radio movies TV.
I'm shocked by that because Charlie McCarthy was a doll, so it wasn't part of the charm seeing him.
30% audience share on the radio. 30% of the audience in America
was
listening.
I never
knew
he was a
big star. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. Edgar Bergen,
yeah.
Okay. Was not the star. The doll was the star.
That's right.
Okay. Mr. Bergen was second fiddle, always and forever.
He was Japan.
And I will talk about that. It hurts a man's pride to know that a doll is more successful than you.
Even though you created the doll.
And you are the doll.
You're voicing the doll. And everyone knows, by the way, that you created it.
This is a psychological experiment.
I can't believe Candace Bergen had to put up with this.
Oh, I can't believe she turned out the way she did. She seems like a totally charming, wry.
Yeah. She's painting on Louis Vuitton handbags. She just ruins them every chance she gets. She's great.
So Candace's dad, Edgar, called Charlie, Candace's brother, in the house.
So upsetting.
3, 2, 1, lift off. That's right. I'm lifting off in my Rocket Money spaceship going off to the planet savings. That was not stuff that they wrote. That's what I wrote. And I'm going to stick with it. Okay. Rocket Money is a beautiful, beautiful app that is all about personal finance. They cancel and find your unwanted subscriptions, monitor your spending, and help you lower your bills. I did not know I was subscribed to Cigar Aficionado. I didn't know why it was coming to my house. I don't need to see Sylvester Stallone every month smoking different cigars from Cuba or wherever. I don't need it, okay? And Rocket Money helped me to rectify the situation. Also, I don't know if you're in a household full of adults, but I am. And a lot of people are subscribing to the same subscription services that when we can all share the password and username. Okay. So they helped me. I put everyone's info in there and we got everything streamlined in my household, especially if you have elderly parents living with you. It's very helpful. They have over 5 million users and help save its members an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/attitudes. That's rocketmoney.com/attitudes. rocketmoney.com/attitudes.
The time has come, okay? It might be the dead of winter, okay? January can be a very downer time because you've just had the holidays. You've had so much stress and maybe you wanted some time off and it didn't actually come. Now, though, is the time to start planning an adventure on a glorious beach filled with glorious pride where you can make the most of it. You have something to look forward to. That's what we have to do in the winter. Who is planning a trip to Provincetown this year? Okay. If you've never been before, if it's your first time, if you go every year, it doesn't matter. You deserve to enjoy life. You could take pride in where you travel when you go there. And it's always an adventure there, truly. Provincetown is so welcoming to everyone. It embraces diversity. It's the place where cultural diversity has a place. It's something for everyone there. Glamour, dining, dancing, entertainment, hiking, biking, beaches. An absolute unique experience where everyone is welcome. Not to mention, it's absolutely gorgeous. It really is. You can see all kinds of comedy shows, go to great dinners, bike, do everything. Plus, it's queer. Okay? It is LGBTQ plus, 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 plus. So go be yourself this summer. Plan something fabulous for yourself. There's fun theme weeks every week for everyone who's LGBTQ plus, like Pride, Girl Splash, Bear Week, Family Week, Carnival, Trans Week, the whole thing. So go to ptowntourism.com, the official guide to Provincetown, ptowntourism.com.
Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company making eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Maybe you're a keto, maybe you're a paleo, maybe you're a vegan, maybe you're a vegetarian, maybe you're gluten-free, or maybe you just want to eat more balanced meals. Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit what you like. It's the number one meal kit for eating clean with dinners that work for you, not the other way around. Feel your best with nutritionist-approved recipes, including calorie-smart meals under 650, protein-packed meals with 30-plus grams of protein on average per serving, science-backed Mediterranean recipes, and flavorful, plant-rich, vegan, and vegetarian meals with organic fruits and vegetables, good-for-you grains, and plant-based protein. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions, as well as 100% of the plastic in every box. Plus, nearly all packaging materials are curbside recyclable in most areas of the U.S. Power through the bustling holiday season with our Green Chef's convenient step-by-step recipes, including wholesome dinners ready in 30 minutes or less, and over 35% of the recipes can be made in 25 minutes or less. Go to greenchef.com/60attitudes and use code 60attitudes. That's how many attitudes we have. And get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/60attitudes and use code 60attitudes to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. I will get into the details of this truly bizarre and unkind relationship thrust upon Candace by her father to be sisters with a doll. But let me get into the history before I get into it. Okay, so if you've not seen the doll, it's made of wood and plastic with human hair and glass eyes and wears synthetic fabric and cotton clothing, a cardboard and fur top hat, glass monocle, and leather shoes. It is Mr. Peanut meets the Monopoly Man.
It's totally Mr. Peanut meets the Monopoly Man. He's like a class act who's like, you can see, you can imagine doing like color commentary on the side at like social events.
I do think if this was acceptable to do during this time, he would have come out of the closet. Mm-hmm. He was snappy. I mean, I'm talking about it's fucking doll.
Like a no coward. Yeah.
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 Edgar, the man inside the doll, was born of Swedish parents, was raised in Chicago, and worked a ton of jobs supporting his family after his dad died. And he taught himself the art of talking with your mouth shut while working all those jobs.
Oh, how sad.
He apprenticed under some master ventriloquist who was so impressed with his skills and then got better
so
and better
far,
and better.
This sounds like Edward Scissorhands. Just see.
Without the cool haircuts.
Absolutely.
Talk about people who, I mean, this is a time where you definitely didn't eat well. This is gravy. This is stuff in Jell-O. It's exactly what you were saying. Yes.
And they like with dry bread on purpose.
The stalest croutons. I don't even know how you can make croutons stale, but stale croutons and too big on a salad.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he asked his pal and woodcarver Theodore Mack to make a dummy for him, which Edgar based on a rascally redheaded Irish newspaper boy he knew. So, you know.
Sure. Yeah, right. All of a sudden you are making a doll out of a person you loved.
He created the body himself using a 9-inch length of broomstick for the backbone and a rubber bands and cords to control the lower jaw mechanism of the mouth. I guess that's pretty cool.
That's pretty innovative.
Yeah.
He's scrappy, this Edgar.
And apparently, this, when he first came to be, whatever, Pinocchio'd, he wasn't always in this Great Gatsby look. He first put on his tux and monocle at the Rainbow Room at the Waldorf Astoria, his first performance there.
Wow.
And then a look was born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to play this.
This is why you really shouldn't fulfill your dreams through your children, imaginary or not. You know what I mean?
No. Wow. I want to play this clip of him on the Dean Martin show. I mean, Dean Martin is absolutely tanked. Okay.
Right, of course, yeah.
But I want to play this for you so we can all get a little sense of what this doll was about. And again, Dean Martin, like, truly, like, the bartender has cut him off and he's still there. Okay.
Yeah, he's still hanging on.
I'm going to share my screen, but then I can play this. Okay, can you see this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was invited to a party at Andy Williams' house, and it was one of those bring your own ice cream parties. So I stopped at a mimosa.
He's drunk.
And you'll never guess who I bumped into. Well, let me show you.
Yes, sir.
I'll have a little rum and maple and go easy on the maple. Okay,
now. For heaven's sake, what's Dean Martin doing in a place like this?
That's Charlie McCarthy.
Okay, Truman Capote.
Charlie McCarthy and Mr. Ed Gilbert. Well, hello.
Hello, Dean. How very nice to see you again.
Yeah, that's Edgar.
Hi, Dino.
No, Doug. Mr. Martin's name is Dino, not Dino.
Well, I call him the way I see him.
Well, wow. I hear I see the sap is running.
He's always the same.
Yeah.
Nasty. All right.
Gentlemen, now please, every time you meet, well, you start bickering. Now, why not, I ask you, why not bury the hatchet?
All right, and I think I know where I'm going to bury it.
You're not too funny since Jerry left, are you?
Anyway, you get it.
Dean Martin is hammered. Von hammered. Also, Edgar Bergen is just full. Honey, he is like, he's the clothing designer in season two of Emily in Paris. And I'm sorry I know that reference. I'm actually deeply worried about myself. But that's who that is.
I have no. What is? Can you just describe it for those of us who,
you see, Charlie, in today's world, Edgar Bergen would be like a, nice he might a kind of a Karl Lagerfeld, Andre Leon Talley.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. By the way, in this whole sketch, no one can be bothered to make eye contact with the audience or the camera or anybody else involved.
Okay, so true. We are not being invited into this comedy routine.
This is a two grown men, one of them tanked, and a puppet
staring at each other in profile.
And then doing a fucking sketch in an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
Why did it have to be in an ice cream shop? I have no idea.
I'm sorry, but nothing makes me more disgusted than the idea of someone smoking a cigarette and eating ice cream. It is the most horrifying thing I can imagine. And Dino was obviously smoking like crazy.
It's just, I mean, after they made him, they literally the beginning of that is, I was at Oscar Zubber, I'm just going to take a look.
And then he just leaves. He just walks off without even saying, like, here we go.
I can't tell if it's continuous that he walked over to another set. If that must have been live, so it's not like they edited that, right?
I have no idea. And this was just blasted into homes.
The only time he was coherent is when he was making a joke about drinking alcohol.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, you can tell the bar was low back then because everyone was drunk.
Was.
So Charlie and Edgar made movies together, like Charlie McCarthy, Detective. Just says what he does.
I did not know they made movies.
Oh, Brian, they made shit tons of movies.
That made money, probably.
This is the thing about this is like, the fact that this doll was like such a
legend.
Okay, here's the thing. The doll was a legend because the doll was saucy, okay?
Right.
And apparently, some of the things that the doll said would have been censored had a human being said them, but because a doll said them, they weren't, but even though a human being was saying them.
Fully. I have so many subscriptions I have completely forgotten about, or have had, because now I use something that really helps me with this. But I used to subscribe to Car and Driver magazine. Don't know how, don't know why. There was another highbrow magazine I subscribed to that I could not get out of. I couldn't even log into it.
What do you mean another highbrow magazine?
Well, I shouldn't say another. A a different magazine that was a little more highbrow, I guess I should say. But I could, no matter how many times I tried, I could not log in to read it. So I was like, how do I get out of this? You know who helped me? Rocket Money. Not to mention, I've talked legendarily about the two gym memberships I had that I didn't know I had. Rocket Money helps you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, the subscriptions you didn't even know you had, and they can even negotiate a lower price for your bills. They did that with my cell phone bill. Unbelievable. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year. Most people think that, like, max, they're overspending by, like, you know, $20, $40 a month. It's so much more than that. $725 a year is the average, with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. I probably had $1 million of those dollars just to myself. So please, this app is really, really useful. I do use it. They have helped me a lot. So stop wasting your money on things you don't use, including all those free trials that then you get billed for. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/attitudes. That's rocketmoney.com/attitudes. rocketmoney.com/attitudes.
The amount of, like, just diving into this world where a doll could be doing this, but the doll is real. This was also a time when
everyone thought everything was real. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I do feel like if people, like, if Dean Martin had been offended by something Charlie McCarthy said, I feel like he would have punched Charlie, not Edgar Bergen.
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. Listen, there was a time, so Mary Todd Lincoln was obsessed with the occult. I've probably mentioned this once on the show, but this is from Mary Roach's book. So obsessed with the occult, but the people who would come in and do seances and stuff, they would do things that represented ectoplasm, but they would just pull lace out of their hats.
Right.
And that's what this is to me.
For sure. Yeah. They're like, wait. That's not really talking. Yeah. Wait, you're saying that doll isn't alive? Then what's happening?
I'd rather watch Madam any day of the week.
Oh, me too.
Would I rather watch either of them? I don't know.
I could pass on both, to be honest with you.
Bergen and McCarthy are sometimes credited with saving the world because on the night of October 30th, 1938, Orson Welles was performing War of the Worlds radio play.
Sure.
As you know, caused mass hysteria.
Right.
But most of the American public had instead tuned into Bergen and McCarthy on another. I love that he's always credited. It's not just Edgar, it's McCarthy Bergen. And Bergen.
Right, like they're a duo.
On another station. And so because his show was so popular, a lot of people didn't even hear it. Hear the War of the Worlds.
Right. They believed that the War of the Worlds was happening, but they also believed they couldn't get over that a doll could drink a martini.
They weren't hystericalized by a fake attack on Earth by aliens because they were too busy being entertained by a wooden puppet.
Sure.
That's 1938.
For ya.
In a nutshell.
That's right. That is a smart idea, though, to be like, the censors won't hear it from a human, but they'll hear it from a doll.
I don't understand it. It's a human being saying it.
Then why didn't we have more cussing dolls? We should.
That's
have had
what
more
I want. I want to see.
We
fucking
should have had more cussing dolls.
I totally agree with you, Brian. I mean, right. I feel like, can we just do this now? Like with cancel culture, can we just go out there and just say like, hey, I'm going to say whatever I want.
Cussing.
But it's the doll. It's not me. You can't cancel a doll if you don't know where the doll is living. Although I know where this doll's living in fucking Edgar's Beverly Grove. Is there a Beverly Grove Drive in Beverly Hills?
There is, yes.
Okay, that's where they were living. Okay. So, he wanted to break away from Charlie after years and years and years and came up with new characters. Mortimer Snurd.
You can't be serious.
Yeah.
That would have been my favorite, hands
down. Effie Clinker?
Honestly, these are all better than Charlie McCarthy.
His fans said no. We want what
they
we want.
They said no. You're telling me they said no to Mortimer Snurd? And what was the other one?
Effie Clinker.
They're fools. Mortimer Snurd and Effie Clinker are the freshest names in town.
Charlie McCarthy, step aside.
It's such a thing of the past.
I'm telling you, the fans were livid that he dared to even to branch out.
Bring a Snurd into this.
Let's talk about his family for a moment. His real family, his human family. In 1941, he met 18-year-old Frances Westerman, a young fashion model who had graduated from Los Angeles High School the previous year. He was 38. I'm about to barf in my fucking mouth.
Absolutely.
This is the worst part. Spotted her in the live audience of his radio program where she was the guest of one of his staff members. And from, she was sitting in the front row and her legs caught his attention and he asked to meet her. And that's Candace Bergman's mom.
That's like when Kathleen Turner and Serial Mom starts flashing the prosecutor or someone on the witness stand and he gets like totally confused. That's what she was doing. At a doll show.
I remember it.
These people.
Did you know L7's in that?
Yeah.
That's the band.
I know. Except I think they call themselves like the Camel Toes or something in the movie. Yeah.
I do recommend the L7 documentary, which is a fantastic peek into the 90s and also a peek into like what it fucking takes to make money in the music industry. It's rough, man. So Candace and Charlie had a famous photo of the two of them in matching footy pajamas at the top of the stairs for Christmas that, you know, back in the day, there was no Instagram, so they had to take pictures of their family all the time and put it in like magazines and be like,
right.
Oh, the big like
holding their child up in their arms, smiling at it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So fake. So it's so Candace fake. With a fully lit candle at like, I don't know, 1.5 years old.
They were just constantly putting children in danger back then. They were like, here, hold on to this knife for 5 seconds.
At the top of the stairs. It's slipperiest so in pajamas you cannot walk in.
Of course not. Oh, it's so good. They didn't
and
care.
Charlie has the same outfit on. And it's like the Bergman children. Yeah, matching. Okay, here's the fucked up thing. Okay. The doll had its own bedroom in the house and it was bigger than Candace's.
That is so all kinds of fucked.
It is
so. Would just like lay in bed all day, I guess.
I
this
guess
doll
it
was not
be,
a thing. I mean, it was not a human.
It's not her brother.
Must be livid.
Well, okay, so.
I can't imagine a doll.
The other thing is like,
bedroom.
It's also sexist. Your wooden male fake, your dad's wooden male fake doll.
Yeah.
Is getting more shit in your house than you are.
Yep. Make some money, Candace.
Her dad would also put them both on his lap and pinch the back of Candace's neck and have her open her mouth to pretend. And he would do conversations between ventriloquisting Cameron, or it's Candace, and the doll. And Charlie. Ugh. Okay.
Although now I'm only picturing Candace Cameron.
I'm so sorry.
As a puppet.
That would actually answer some questions for me.
For sure, for sure.
It's really a good thing that Candace developed her own career because her father left Charlie everything in the will.
What does that mean?
He left a bunch of money.
In Charlie's name or like made donations in his name?
So that
or
funds
something?
Could be managed, invested, and reinvested to provide for future performances of the Charlie McCarthy doll. And he said, I make this provision for sentimental reasons, which to me are vital due to the association with Charlie McCarthy, who has been my constant companion and who has taken on the character of a real person and from whom I've never been separated for even a day.
So Candace Bergen got nothing. She had to sit by and watch a doll reap this entire fortune. And you know what, though?
She was like, I always fought for my dad's attention. And for his love. And when I got that, I understood where that I was never going to happen.
And I got to tell you this about Candace Bergen. You ask anyone who won in the end, she did. I got to be honest. People know
absolutely.
Who she is. You go up to any 8-year-old and say, do you know Charlie McCarthy or Candace Bergen?
any kindergarten, anybody in an elementary age zone, okay? And you go,
they'll say Candace Bergen, no doubt about
They also have a Soderbergh movie that she was in.
Of course.
Cruise ship.
Of course, cruise ship, to speed 2. Cruise Control with Meryl Streep and Diane Wiest. Let them all talk.
Listen, I've never watched a movie that made me happier in my life than that movie.
I loved that movie. Candace Bergen's great in it.
She's so good.
She's wonderful in it.
She's good, but I mean,
she's like you feel for her, but also she's sort of shitty, but you like her.
Talk about someone who's broken inherited trauma.
No kidding.
To have that father.
That's honestly so sucky. By the way, she used to have
to perform on the show with Charlie, her brother. She has a real brother, by the way. Wait, she has an actual brother.
That was Edgar Bergen's son?
Yes. Yes.
What happened to him?
I don't know what his story is because I think he's not in the limelight, but.
I wonder if they used to pretend they were dolls to get their dad's affection.
I wonder. Candace does seem like someone who's like, fuck you all the time. At a certain point, I'm sure she was like, you're crazy. You're a nutcase.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
I'm beautiful.
And I'm sure.
And I'm going to meet Mike Nichols and make a movie with him. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. But I'm also sure that like he, you know, there's always weird shit when you're somebody who literally like got the quote unquote American dream, like was living in poverty from immigrant parents mm-hmm. and made a name for yourself. And then you have a kid who was born in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there was weird stuff with that too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Of like the Joan Crawford
punishing
thing.
Your kids because for sure. you gave them a good life.
Yep. You have no idea what I went through. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't actually. Do you want to talk to me about it? Or you want to just scream at me because I'm asking for $20?
Totally.
She said about her father's death, because obviously the Charlie McCarthy doll is still alive. She said, his death left a space for me. I was able to much more live according to my own expectations. I always felt my fame was ill-gotten, sort of borrowed from his, and that perhaps I tried to keep some kind of rein on it. Even when he was in retirement, I felt like I was poaching on his territory. He'd joke and say he was the father of Candace Bergen, and that was only partially a joke. It was really hard on him. So I'm sure it was. That's despite everything. Despite having to pretend that a wooden doll is your brother,
mm-hmm.
okay, you build a career for yourself, and I don't know. He also dragged her on the he abused her cuteness, his daughter's own cuteness, and her precociousness, mm-hmm. and sold her out to newspapers, and then brought her on his show and
put
did
a
all
flame
this stuff
in her hands, literally,
and then was like, and then she fucking ran with it, and he was like, "Fuck you."
Yeah, classic.
Cannot win with this guy. Anyway, if you want to see the doll, it's on display at the Smithsonian. Because we really know how to just really artifacts that matter to it's right next to the Declaration of Independence.
Are you serious?
Liberty Bell, Declaration of Independence, the Wright Brothers plane, and then the Charlie McCarthy doll.
Aaron.
I do feel like the Smithsonian is a fucking museum of like
anything
white dudes.
Aaron.
Anyway, right. I hope you never, anyone listening to this, and especially you, Brian, I hope you never have to experience the curse of having a performer in your family who's a ventriloquist.
Aaron, I have something to say.
Yeah.
I owned a Charlie McCarthy doll when I was a kid.
Did it have the tiny book?
No, it was just like, I mean, it was like a replica of a replica of a replica, but my mm-hmm. grandparents got it for me. I was so fucking scared of it. It was like, it went in the closet immediately and never came back.
It has nothing going on in the eyes.
No, and it has like blood red lips.
Where is it?
I think I broke the monocle immediately. It's probably still in like a garbage bag somewhere in my parents' house, maybe.
If you go home, when you go home next time, will you see if you can find it?
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
That is.
I know I beat the shit out of it because I was so scared of it. Like, I really tried to beat it up because I was so scared.
And again, it's not the doll's fault.
Of course not.
You know what I mean?
I think I, like, stepped on its face or something, but...
And oh, my God.
I used to scare my sister with it, too, because I would make the mouth move really, really fast, and I'd wake her up like that, and she'd scream and cry.
It's not. Listen. I'm sure Dean Martin could be, I'm sure he's pissing himself as he's doing that sketch with the Charlie McCarthy doll.
Imagine if I had to walk into a long hallway and at the end was an open room with Charlie McCarthy sitting at a desk, I would absolutely do the Cowardly Lion and jump out, break a window, and just fend myself.
Oh, yeah, Kool-Aid Man right out of there. Yeah.
Out of there. Yeah.
If you want to go down the rabbit hole of watching this, there's no uncanny valley here.
It's a doll.
It's a doll, okay? Yeah. But watching a doll act in a movie with a human woman and hit on her is the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. Also that he was allowed to do all these things through a doll. He could do whatever he wanted because he's like, it's a doll, it's the act. But it's like, this is an extension of you. This is you.
I gotta say, it's very much, in a sense, like a privileged... Charlie was sort of like a privileged white gay man in that, like, oh, you're not offended, I'm gay. Oh, you don't care if I grab you there, I'm gay. Oh, you don't care if I say that, I'm gay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a thing there.
Oh, it's exactly that. And even the way he flirts with women, it's like he negs them.
Right. Pickup artist. What a cad. I mean,
he's the original Matador or whatever.
I agree.
Mayhem and Matador. Was that their names? I don't care.
I don't remember. Something about something. I don't know.
You're ending about
ventriloquism and not getting involved was the best.
By the way, the Charlie McCarthy doll, I'll say this, it does not hold up in value. I think I like a good one. It's a good thing that you bashed its skull in because they're only like $75 to $200. There's no market for them.
Right.
I'm right because everyone who remembers him is dead, but...
Aren't you glad? Not because of Charlie, but because of Edgar Bergen being such a piece of shit.
I think if Candace Bergen having to live her whole life seeing her dad idealized, I think it might be the only closure that she has.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I hope she's living her Malibu dreams on her own money.
She keeps painting those purses.
What are you talking about? She paints her...
Honey, if you're not following Bergen Bags, you might as well die.
Bergen Bags on Instagram? Honey,
yes, I think it's called Bergen Bags. Yeah.
Wait, so she does?
She paints. She takes really expensive bags and paints them. Well, I guess now it's also a lot of pictures of, I don't know, now it's something else.
I mean, I'm obsessed with her and I always have been. I used to watch Murphy Brown when I was a kid.
No, I know that about you. I did know that.
Bergen Bags.
All of these
tired ass honky ho. What is this? Is this her actual site?
Yes. And it used to just be her painting on like Louis Vuitton and Chanel bags, and she would just paint like a star on it or a fish or something. Back in the early days, now I don't know what the hell this is.
It's a dog appreciation thing.
Yeah, it's basically dog appreciation. Her in weird hats. She hasn't painted a purse in a while. I think that's a huge mistake.
I really am obsessed with this on a level that can't be expressed really in any way.
Oh, for sure.
She's the mom and grandma I wish I had. And I wonder if anybody related to her would say that. But she honestly
does seem pretty great. Oh, here's a handbag she painted.
Don't you think she doesn't give a fuck?
Oh, you can tell once you scroll down enough to the bags... Then, yeah, you'll know she doesn't.
So, are people giving her these bags or she's buying?
I don't know. All I know is I'm looking at a Louis Vuitton handbag with pancakes, butter, and bacon painted onto it. Okay? The butter pad alone took her 20 minutes, she said.
20 minutes? That's not a long time.
Painting this on a purse.
Wait.
And then I see another like bull terrier.
What?
Or Frenchie on a Louis Vuitton
my
bag.
Instagram won't let me go down this far. But is there a thing where it's all but all? Are you can on I, your? Yes,
if
please
I share
my
screen. I would show you. Hang on, let me see.
Oh, I see this shit.
Hold on.
It's a teacup, or it's just a bull terrier to white purse.
Right. Yeah.
That just says Lizzie. A really rusty return to temporary Bergen bagging, clearing the decks before going back to work.
I'm telling you, Aaron, you've got to scroll back enough to see the Bergen
bags. It's true. Oh, I'm seeing them now. I see a dog.
It's unbelievable.
Hold on. This is a Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
She's painted this at 5 a.m. after a wedding. I can't believe I missed this.
This one is a Gucci bag with two Bichons on it. One named Barney, one named Button. And the caption is, the poodle hair is very labor intensive. If you knew it was for you, you'd plots.
What does plots mean?
Like, you'd like lose your mind, I guess. Or you'd like collapse from excitement. Hang on. Now I'm going to see if I can share my screen with you.
So here she is with Diane Keaton. She's got a monster bag, which is a bag painted like a monster in front of Diane Keaton and... Yeah. Oh my God, what's her name? She's so beautiful and so wonderful. I love that every single one I see has a Jeffrey Self comment on it. Every single one.
Here's a Balenciaga bag with a dog on it. She's unbelievable.
Oh, this is the book club. Glamorous geezers having
Mary
sex.
Steenburgen, maybe?
Yes, I love. And Jane
She's
Fonda.
Wonderful. And Jane Fonda, who we love.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Good. Have fun tonight.
And she also wears crazy shoes.
Yeah, she does. She's really into like being wacky.
Well, I mean, I wonder where she, oh, this shit. This is not good.
No. She buys a really expensive bag and then paints for an exhausting 20 minutes, up to 20 minutes.
That is no time at all. No. Listen, I didn't know this is going to get here, I'm so happy it did.
Me too.
If this is an expression of childhood emotional trauma, I can't say I'm here for it.
No.
But I appreciate it.
And she's pretty great.
Thank you so much for listening to Dolls, a.k.a. What does Candace Bergen do in her 20 minutes of spare time?
Yep. It's painting pats of butter.
Onto $3,000 purses. Thank you for listening to Dolls. We always go there and we're never scared.
No way, babe.